Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined once again by our Greek friend, Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yesas, Kalamera. I am brilliant. Happy to be here. Trip's coming to an end, but 35 degrees today in Greece. Going to record this podcast. My boy's having a little nap, siesta, as they call it. And then we're going to head straight to the beach. A couple of last-minute cocktails.
Love it. So good. So good. Big fan. I was unloading a container ship and some stuff today. Not good. We're building a mezzanine in our factory. And I guess I was one of the people that was part of the manual labor for that. Oh boy. Sore body today. Oh boy. It was a lot. It was a lot. One thing that was a little exciting today, though, was we got the ratings update. How did you fare?
No events, so no change, and there wasn't a Seeking League day or something that was like made me change last time, as with Invali. So nah, nothing. What about you?
I went down 3, which was to be expected. I think with the amount of rounds in my system, 3 is about the maximum I can dip. So, yeah, I'm definitely back on my downwards trajectory. And not at all surprised, because I've been playing like 900 golf for a couple of months now. So, I'm not sure what's going on with that, but we're heading back down to my natural habitat.
Yeah, maybe. You had a fire round at Queensland, which I know we'll touch on Queensland later. I'm sure you'll bounce back. But so back out of the 920 club, is that right?
Yep. 918 now. So sad times. I was hoping to. I think a few pods ago, maybe a few episodes, ratings updates ago, I was hoping to keep the 920 as my new bottom line. But yeah, that didn't work out very very long. So. We'll see how we go. A lot of events coming up, so if I get some few ones, maybe I can maximum increase back up the 3 points, and we'll see. We'll go from there.
Yeah, true.
Someone who had a nice big fat boost, 5 points up when you're 1,002 rated is pretty handy. So 1,007 now for Dill Feldman, the number one player in Australia. Big Barwon Valley Bash, I think, keeping his dreams alive there.
Yeah, 1038 Barwon Valley Bash. He had a Queensland Open round count and one not count, and it was a 960 round. So even with a 960 counting, he still went up 5. And yeah, that's definitely thanks to the 1038 Barwon Valley.
What else are we seeing on the front page of the Australian section? We got any names of note?
I feel like Tim Bowen is still climbing. He's now only one away from the 970 club, so that's worth mentioning. But there's a name on the front page that I don't think we've seen on the front page for a while, or maybe it's in a new location on the front page. I don't know. I'll take your guidance on this. But we find none other than a very young Chris Finn on the front page.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that. He is up for sure. So it's been some lean times for Finney, but he's back moving in the right direction. So, yeah, definitely has not been on the front page for quite some time. And definitely good call on Timmy B. He just, seems to be getting slightly better all the time. So I don't know how he does it. I would like to know, but he's moving up. Other than that, I think everyone else has been there, done that sort of setup. I know Abra finally played a tournament and took a bit of a hit. But I think everyone else we're pretty familiar with was Davies being on that front page. Wasn't sure about that. Jacob Davies?
Yeah, maybe not. Not sure.
He's only gone on up. Sorry.
I was going to say, I'm also spotting the fact that the Canberra battle has moved around, and Aussie D has reclaimed top spot.
Yeah, with a bit of authority there too.
Yeah.
We'll get to him. He some scenes at the Queensland Open, but
For sure.
yeah. Before we get to that though, I'll give a shout out to the Invalie Open. So registration for the Invalie Open has opened up now, and I signed up for that. It's very different format this year. So they're doing two rounds of 27 holes. So
Okay.
there's been some talk of building a new 18 out in that unused back area, and apparently they've got 9 holes that they're happy to throw into a tournament layout. So it's going to be the 18 white mixed in with 9 new, and then next day 18 gold mixed in with the 9 new. So some new disc golf out at Invalie. I'm pretty excited. I'm keen to see how they go.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check that out. I might have to sign up.
And 2 rounds of 27 is pretty tasty. So big field possibility, because I think it's just all going to be shotgun start. So
Yeah,
could be a good
sick.
one.
Nah.
All right, we should check into the Bicentennial Social Day, the local disc golf that happened on the weekend, the precursor for the Street League. And Dazza got himself out in front, just put some dominance down with a 3-stroke win over Aiden Howard, which would
Yeah,
be the matchup later in the day.
must be hard having a doorstep on your backyard. And he's obviously got that course a little bit sussed, bogey free, not spotting any other bogey free players for the day unless there's any down low. Nah. So
No.
yeah, bogey free, 9 under, dominance.
Dominance indeed. So a solid round there by Aiden. Chris Scott not too far behind with Juan Rader making a very nice round of neg five as well. And a lot of the Street League people dominating the top 10, unsurprisingly.
Correct,
With
correct.
Alistair Morley taking out the handicap, and a real nice round there from Janet Ford Adams in second place. So good to see that.
Yeah, that's epic. When your handicap result comes in under 40, it's always fire.
The bottom end, though, this bit became a bit of a precursor for the Street League as well. I'm looking at the bottom of the handicap leaderboard, and I'm seeing Taron Anderson and Anthony Mazin, which
It's
worries me
our
greatly because that is our doubles team heading into
Ouch.
heading into the Street League. So,
Hopefully just getting their bad shots out of the way.
yeah, let's hope so. But the two of them, the two worst players on the day, apparently. So very concerning.
And sometimes the handicap leaderboard can be a bit misleading, but in this case, it's not. You have to scroll quite far down on the raw scores to find Anthony Magan at plus five and Taron Anderson at plus one.
Yeah, I don't think there should be any of these courses where people of their caliber should be going plus anything. Any of the Melbourne Social Day courses. So, worrying signs. Anything else jump out at you there? I was a bit nervous at Johnny Martin at plus three. He's been on a bit of a tear and he's on our team, so I was hoping for more from him, but we'll see how his Street League matchup goes.
Yeah, nothing else really jumping out at me. It looks like Herbo had a pretty decent round coming in at even. He's one of the more trash disc golfers on the scene. And even from the left, he's not bad from Kyle Herbo
Watch me cop shit for that. Anytime
there.
you badmouth the park crew, somehow I get in trouble. We'll see how that goes. Oh, and I didn't write this down. That remind me, just before we move on from the social day, is the Sizzler is out. The Sizzler footage is out. I'm sure you probably probably haven't had too much time to sit around and watch disc golf on your wonderful Greek adventure. But yeah, have you seen any of it?
I no. Look, I get my notifications. Obviously, I've got notifications set up at Park Media, so I've been notified that at least round one and two are out. Did round three maybe come out today?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen that. Probably. I think it seems like it's been one a day.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's looking good, and I'm excited to have some Australian disc golf back again. So if you haven't seen it, get around it. It's on Parked and Gatekeeper, and looks like a good tournament. Seeing the course just reminded me that I really liked playing that course. So definitely need to get back out there again some stage.
Yeah, cool.
But the Street League, that was the big news on the weekend. Round one of the Street League, and there was some undermanned teams, some real undermanned teams. So our team was decimated by the Queensland Open, and Brennan's team was just decimated. No
Yeah.
real understanding of why. And we were both meant to be going up against some pretty solid put together teams. So our squad was meant to be going against the Where's Wally's, and their squad was meant to be going against the Bullies. But Dazza made a very late, well, a late change and swapped the matchups around. So the two strong teams once again went against each other, and the two weak teams went against each other, which was music to my ears because we could have been in for a 0-5 whitewashing potentially. But
Yeah, definitely.
yeah. But then all of a sudden we were looking like a potential 5-0 in our favor. So I was pretty excited for the Street League, I must admit. What matchups did you have your eye on?
I wanted to see Paul Arden, Doug Adams, a couple of the stalwarts. That would have been huge to watch unfold. And then, yeah, you foreshadowed the doubles battle. Surely that doubles battle was just an absolute schmacking by Tony and Taryn getting to take on the two Ashes.
You would think. You would think. Speaking of the Paul and Doug, there's some shenanigans going on. So overall, I cannot be mad. We were looking at a very rough matchup, and it got changed to a much more favorable matchup. But I will say that I saw our rough matchup coming well ahead of time, and I went deep into the list of, what do we call them, mercenaries? And even out of the list, I went left the field to find Paul Arden, who never even heard of Street League. I had to tell him what it was. So I ended up getting what I believe were the two best available mercenaries in Paul Arden and Doug Adams for our team. Doug ended up having to drop out because of injury. Brendan had to drop out. So we ended up just switching it with four singles and two and one doubles. But then Doug, all of a sudden, then Mike Jeffcott from our team was out for his illness. So I sweet, we'll just slot Doug back in. And then I'm looking at the matchups and I find Doug on Brennan's team. So Daz pulled the old switcheroo and we ended up with Janet and they got Doug. so I don't know if that mo if I was there on the day, I don't know if that would have stood, but Dad's got one through, and like I said, I can't be too mad because we got the matchup we wanted. So, but some shenanigans going on week one. And then the other matchup, I was really looking forward to seeing Dazza versus Aiden. That was a nice little battle I was looking to see. So, should we start with the Where's Wally's versus the Bullies?
Yeah, let's do it.
The big dog battle, the two best players there on the day. Daz versus Aiden, close matchup in the Street League. Well, not really. Dazza punched him, but it was looking real close. I don't know if you keep an eye on the live scores, but it was
I
all
guess
square
was.
through a lot of it. But yeah, our man Dazza just went whack whack late and got up two up, so just stamping his authority over the league, week one.
Yeah, I think they must have played. I reckon maybe they played the 18th hole. He was one up with one to play, and then I think he won the 18th hole to win two
I
up.
believe so. I believe so. So nice work there. Daz getting one on the board for the Wallies. Gets it done over Narada, two up, which evens it up. And then Honeyman versus Lachlan McKenzie. Big Honey's hot. If you got Honey sitting in third spot on your team, you're looking pretty good. So he gets the
Yeah, true
win
that.
over Lachlan, three up, to put the Wallies ahead. But how'd the double shake out?
So then you had Tim and Gannon, the Cannon, pairing up against, how do you say Callan's
Kalen.
name? Kaelin and Matty Mutter. And it's another close one. Tim Pollock and Gannon take it down right at the final while, either on the 17th or the 18th, two up. So we're back to being all square. How's the doubles weight more than singles again this year?
I don't think so. I think, oh, what was it? They had some weird
No.
rule about tie breaks, maybe, but I don't think so. I think this year it's just same.
It's all, yeah, all same, but no draws.
No
So you just
draws.
got to keep on playing if it ends up being. Yeah, ends up being a tie, which is pretty cool. And then you had so now it's back to all square. And then you had Alex Ritchie and Chu Tran, which that's a pretty solid team up against Kyle Herbo-Herbertson, who was coming off a fire round in the league, obviously. And a name I'm less familiar with, Nick Tay. You familiar with Nick?
No, I am unfamiliar.
No.
I didn't.
Could be a thousand rated
Yeah.
golfer for all we know. But let's
Plus
assume he's
seven.
not. And Alex Ritchie and Chu. Okay, there you go. So Alex and Chu are big favourites going
Well,
into that for
Alex Ritchie
sure.
also shot a
But
plus seven.
what did
Two
Chu
shoot
shoot?
plus one, and Kyle shot even. So on the day, the
Oh,
Kyle and
so
Nick matchup was the favorite, you would think.
in the faves. There you go. Anyway, went down to the wire. They win one up. I wonder if it went to extra holes. I wonder if any of these went to extra holes. I don't really know, but yeah, well done, Where's Wally's. They win by a nose.
Yeah, well, they, yeah, sorry, they do. Yep, 3-2. And,
Yeah.
yeah, nice work by the Wallies. And well done to Dazza to take on the harder matchup. Appreciate it. over to
Yes.
our side. We still had some pretty quality dudes out there. So our singles big dog was Sam Stoyer. Not mad at that at all. And he came up against Cam Ryan, who I am also very unfamiliar with. Have you heard of Cam Ryan?
Nah.
Nah, we'll have to.
I wonder if it must be Ryan Deere's
Yeah,
cousin.
maybe. But I think he might end up being a. He was a mercenary, but I think he might be getting absorbed into Brennan's team because I think Brennan might have had a dropout with I forgot his name, but anyway. So Stoyar just too good, four up, easy win there. Paul Arden, Doug Adams, close early, but then Paul ran away with it, three up, job done. Paul and Johnny Martin. I said he'd had a nice round. No, sorry, I said he'd had a disappointing round. I thought he was going to be better than that. He saved it for the Street League. Five up on Peter Barry. Great to see Peter Barry out playing disc golf again, though. I think that's the first appearance I've seen of him since his battle. So very nice. But well done to our three single boys getting it done. Three zip. Against Brennan's disc golf team. Oh, we had four singles, sorry. But our top three. What about the next matchup? Next couple of matchups.
Yeah, so yeah, we foreshadowed this hard. We were destined to win this, really. So the other singles matchup, yeah, Jason Wiedner got it done over Janet, two up, close battle. That would have been cool to
Close battle.
watch.
They
But
were
then in the
tied for a
doubles,
while.
we had, we had Anthony Magan and Taryn Anderson taking on the minnows of Ash Wiedner and Ash Brugger's, just making up numbers, those two Ashes, really. So this was a 10 up opportunity, I would have thought. But anyway, it was not to be. Ash Wiedner and Ash Brugger's get it done on presumably the last hole to win one up and in the choke of the season so far. Megan and Anderson take the L.
Yeah, take a big L. Captain wasn't pleased. I could tell you that. They got some making up to do. But yeah, the two Ashes, turns out they're a bit of a devastating doubles team. So there we go.
Lock it out.
So we get the win 3-2 over Brennan Siskov team. No whitewashes this week. So the leaderboard is yeah, looking nice and tight week one. And we're gonna wait 2 weeks for week two, which is a bit sad, but yeah, hopefully we'll actually be able to make it out to this one.
Yes, true that.
Very nice. All right, but the real big thing that happened over the weekend was the Queensland Open. So if you all listened to the last pod and you're back, thanks for that, because I think I said to Chris that I was probably one bevy away from being too drunk to do the pod. I think I was off by one bevy. I think yeah, it was bad. I listened back to it a few days later. Oh boy. So sorry about that, guys. I got a bit loose and really passionate about obscure things. Yeah. My the biggest
But how good's remote control cars?
Oh, it's great. I'm just more impressed I got the pot out, because I was like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow, we're off to the pub. And like, I was lit before we went to the pub, and yeah, we were there for a minute. So I punched a few bevvies there as well, and we got back and we're just all talking shit, and the old man was just like, oh, I'm going to bed, like, how come there's no throllers for me to listen to while I'm asleep? I was like, oh shit. Like, so I just went and grabbed the iPad and just like, the rest of us are sitting on the couch talking shit, and I'm just like putting together this, listening real quick, putting together, and then got it out there. I'm like, I hope that's cool.
Nailed
It. I even managed to cut the, sometimes when we have a little hiccup, I like to cut the little piece out and put it at the end as a little a nugget, and I managed to even get in that. So I'm pretty impressed with myself,
Yeah,
but.
I noticed. I noticed. It was nice. It was not the best thing at the end of the episode, but it was a nice little add-on.
But anyway, if you listened last week, you heard that I had some pretty strong criticism of the course after my practice round. That your MPO chat was lighting up with all sorts of shenanigans, and you asking me about them, and I was not reluctant to hold back. So I want to start with the good, because there was so much good before we even get to any of the scores. There was so much good. So I think it was a really good course, a really well designed course. So, starting from hole one, this course made me realize what I want in a hole one, and I realized that it's at a few of the courses that we play. So I think the perfect hole one is a par four, and it's a like a gettable but tricky par four. And I think that's the perfect hole one, because it's just like, if you aren't quite there, then you might not get destroyed by it. Like, you should sort of be able to get up and down, get your par, move on. But if you are warmed up, you are feeling good, and you get that first drive out nice, that's your shot. That's how you're getting a chance to get it. And I think that was great. A perfect one for that, because it was a not like a gap hit off the tee, but you couldn't really throw anything but sort of a straight shot. And the once you got out, the fairway dipped off to the left, so everything's trying to drag you down to the left. So you had to have a bit of a, you know, like a bit of a flipping up disc or some turn on it or something like that, which is not always to do, or not always easy to do first shot, or throw some sort of big forehand out. Anyway, once if you've got a good drive out, then you're a decent chance to approach at it. But yeah, no, I thought it was a really good hole, and it reminded me of Mount Gambier, very similar sort of hole. And even Invalie, very similar sort of par four. Like, the hole one at Invalie is definitely not the longest, hardest four on the course, but it still feels kind of like a bonus birdie because that first drive is pretty important and it's your first throw of the day. So, yeah, I thought hole one was great, really gets you going for the day, and I think every single course should have that as like a hole one. Even Canberra does. Canberra's got that. Theirs is probably more gettable, as well. But anyway, but the whole course I did really enjoy, and a comment that you had made to me really resonated as well. Something I'd noticed was you mentioned something about the pro scores. What were you compared to the rest? What did you notice there?
Yeah, exactly. It was the pros were just going under, like under for fun. Like even if you just look at round one, you've only got a few players going over the card at the bottom, and you've got, more than 20 players going under the card. And then you flick over to MA1 and you can only find one player under the card. And there's just such a discrepancy. And I've not really seen that on any other course, like even Invalid. Invalid's so hard that, not many of the MPO players at all are going under, really. But yeah, 20v1 in the under the card situation is just unheard of, I think, on the Australian scene.
No, definitely. I thought the exact same thing. And that's another thing I think is a great design. Like, I just think it's a good pro course. Like, if you are better at disc golf, this course is just a lot easier for you. And that sounds maybe too reductive, but that's not how all courses are. And if you have a look at the MPO overall field round ratings, so many of those players are playing above rating. So of all the guys that are under par, I think the only ones that I noticed that weren't was who did I see? Hayden Fatteny was under par, under rating, and Dan Frost. But every other, so 16 of those 18, all played above rating. And then even in the positives, like Ryan Michelle, Nath Parrish, Rigby, all of those guys were for sure averaging above rating, maybe not Nick Halstead, potentially Reese Wineski, like most of the MPO field, and you never ever see that. Whereas when you're looking at the MA1 field, a lot of them were playing at or around rating. Like that's why it didn't seem like it was sort of off. But the pros were just better. They were just better on this course. So it was. Yeah, like I really like I think I might have said it in the last pod too that like accuracy was very important here, but I really did want more distance on my throws. Like it was important. And wind and out of bounds were huge factors. And just being able to sort of step up and throw like a more stable fairway or even a stable driver and just knowing you're not gonna, it's not gonna end up going crazy skip left for you. Yeah, I think it was just big. Just being better at disc golf was really, really important here. And a lot of big, yeah, a lot of really cool holes really signified that. Like hole five, the shore was a real tough one. Dam on the right that was sort of right in the landing zone space for most ams, and then a Mando further up on the left that you had to go to the pass to the right of. And headwind coming at you. And a lot of us just sort of struggled. If they went, most people just went too stable because they're afraid of that dam. And then we're way left. So you've got no angle to get up to the basket. Now you're saying pushing past the Mando for a layup. And then you got a tricky approach. But the pros would have just been going, that dam is not an issue. And then just putting some out there, not going too left so that they do get a shot at that green. And it was a very treacherous green. So, like, if you laid up, you weren't just getting a four. I think that was a perfect example. And then a bunch of others. Like, I won't go through hole by hole. But yeah, I just thought it was a really well designed course and a real pro. Yeah.
I'll just like highlight with hole five is MPO 70 more than 70% of the field are getting par or better. That's
Crazy.
7-0. More than 70% of the field
Yeah.
are getting par or better, but in MA1 only 17% manage par with no one managing a birdie.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that's on round three.
And it's not Yeah, I don't know. Like, I got a par in my practice round. Like, it's not unparable in any way. But it's just so hard for us to get onto the, like, because there was a lake you had to throw over on your second shot or third, basically, for all MMA1. But most of the pros would be aiming to get over it on their second. And we just aren't doing enough with our drive on our first to be able to make that a reality. So, yeah, that hole was the absolute signifier of it and their signature hole for sure. But there was plenty of them where it was just, if you were just a little bit better, you're a lot better. So cool course. It flowed great. Like, we had no backups. No backups. Flowed great. All three rounds, no dramas. Yeah, really, really cool. They had a little mini basket course there, which I thought was a cool touch. I'd never seen that before. They had nine mini baskets on like stumps and things like that, and people, before or after the round, just sticking around with minis. So I thought that was cool. So there's plenty to love about the Queensland Open, but the bad. So the OB, we touched on it. It's just that it caused as many issues as you think it might have caused. It was crazy. Just, there was no markings. There was not one line or bit of paint on the whole course, and every hole had out of bounds. So just caused crazy issues, and the bunker was so weird. They basically just because the bunkers were so ambiguous, they basically decided, like, if your disc was leaning on the edge at all of a bunker, you were in. And so I can tell you for sure that in the MA1 field, it was basically if your disc was flat, then you're probably in out of bounds. But if your disc is slightly not flat in any way, that's probably edge good enough, you're in. Yeah, and
Yeah.
it got real squirrely, and I'm sure the MPO field were having long, deep discussions about it. Yeah,
Yeah, definitely. Of course, they would have been.
I sent you a photo of like the lights, so hole 18, the final hole, and there's little like solar lights or something they got sticking in the ground. That's what they were using as the out of bounds line, and it's crazy. Like you saw it, right? That was wonky as shit. Yeah, the tree to tree stuff. The hole five was a perfect example. So that dam that's on the right. There was tree lines coming up to it and then sort of stopping before it, and then there's like a bunch of dirt built up on, like, if you flipped over your disc and went over the dam, a lot of people were in bounds, but the definition between what was in and out of bounds, because the two trees that you're going from were 50 meters apart. Like, it's
Crazy.
crazy, man. Yeah, what defined water, like, just everything, every part of the OB was as bad as I thought it might be, and every single person had at least an experience on their card over the weekend where you're like, is this out of bounds? And I had so many. We had five where we were like, I don't know. So yeah,
Yeah.
no good. And so a handful of people were camping. And I think there was like a house on the course that they were using for the showers. So, like, there was no hired showers, but there was a house. But I don't know if the golf course, anyway, I don't really know what the deal with the house is, but I'm pretty sure that's where they're having their showers. The showers were only available to the campers between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. That's it. And
Love.
yeah, and either they had no hot water or they had the world's smallest hot water service, because the guy said they never had a hot shower.
Shut
Crazy. Like I don't know what's going on with that. And then finally the payouts. So I remembered when I had a look at the payouts and saw what they were, I remembered seeing a post from them ages ago advertising how they're gonna exceed 100% of entry fees as payouts in the pro divisions, because this was coming hot off the heels of the Vic Open copping all kinds of shit for paying out over or just over 50% of gross fees, and people were furious. And so everyone else was like, oh, we would never. I went looking for it after I saw the payouts and I couldn't find it, but I think someone in your MPO chat did, right? So that's out there. That's
I'll read it verbatim. We are planning to meet and exceed the normal PDGA B tier standards, which require amateur play packs plus prizes to exceed 100% of net entry fee and pro pool to exceed 100% of net entry plus an additional $750 cash. The event will be an ADG and a QDG tour major.
Yeah. Well, they didn't hit that. So I did a bit of quick math and it was $160 entry for the pros. So there was 28 in the MPO and 9 in the MP40. I converted that to US dollars because the payouts were in US dollars. And I think I got to around like 4,000 US and they paid out 1,500 US. So 38% of gross fees. So the Vic Open was getting slammed for like 55%, and they paid out at like 38%. I don't know. I thought the rules were gross fees, not net fees, because a B tier requirement is now minimum 1,500 US. But I also thought minimum 50% or more of gross player fees.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not across those rules. Obviously, I never cash in MPO, so I'm not really across those rules. But I do have a feeling based on the chat that I'm in that the rule must be on net fees. You're allowed to take out, the PDJ fees, the ADG fees, and a few other things before you then calculate, cool, how much went to the purse.
Okay. Well, I guess technically they've done nothing wrong then. 1,500 is the minimum. They've done 1,534, but technically needed the Vic Open. Turns out the Vic Open far exceeded what you needed to do then. And that got slammed pretty hard. So, yeah. I don't know what's going to go on with that. The problem had like the. So last year, the Queensland Open, people were stoked. Like, people were so happy with how it went, how it was run, how the course played, everything. Everyone loved it, and they were saying that that and Gambia, that's the standard. They're the two now. So everyone's been on Gambia for ages. But now it was Queensland Open and Gambia, they're the ones. And capitalize on that momentum, like, a lot of big field have come out. And bang, very next year, you've just crushed all that momentum. So, yeah, not good. Not good that all the talk from last year was how amazing. And now all the talk from this year, sadly, is like how crazy is the OB and all this stuff, because it really could have been an amazing event. The course was fantastic.
Yeah, and kind of can't help but think that this is where I want like ADG to have a bit more of a presence, or Queensland Disc Golf themselves, and just be a bit more transparent and like talk to us. Like that, again, as I said for the Vic Open at the time, like I'm sure that money went somewhere, and like no one's lining their pockets on an event, and no one here is suggesting that. What I'm hearing from Queensland is that, potentially they had some big sponsors fall out, drop out last minute and kind of leave them hanging. And if that's happened, tell us because, like, we're fully reasonable people. Otherwise, you just leave it to me and Alan and other podcasts and other media outlets to just say whatever that fuck we want to say because we only know what we know. And what we know was that you said you were going to give us 100%. And then you didn't. That's what we
Yeah,
know.
and we're very, very unlikely to reach out and ask the right people questions. We're just gonna speculate.
We're just going to talk shit.
I did speak to Vito though, Jason Vito, who's running the Queensland Disc Golf and running the tour, and he said that so the Vic Open is run by Disc Golf Victoria now, has been for a couple of years. But Queensland, Victoria, Queensland, Victoria, Queensland Disc Golf still let the clubs do it. and they have some certain guidelines, but they have nothing real strict. And Vito reckons that they're gonna, because of this, they're gonna have to come up with some real strong guidelines on what dictates what can be a X level event and what needs to be matched. So hopefully next year, they won't have these issues. And yeah, Queensland Disc Golf's still gonna put it on the clubs. But yeah, they're gonna have a lot more say in the matter, I think. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But anyway, aside from all the bullshit, there was a tournament, a good tournament, with some good results. So where should we start? We'll have to push through them because I talked too much shit about that, but.
Yeah, let's race through them. Look, let's just go straight to the battle at MPO. We wanted a battle between Feldman and Blake. Blake engaged himself in that battle for sure, but Feldman, his injury reoccurrence prevented him from engaging in said battle. But that's all right. Aussie D was more than willing to step up. And apart from, I'm going to say it, apart from a quad bogey round two,
Oi.
pretty dominant performance. Pretty dominant performance. 10:44 round one, 10:26 round three, a 9:80 round two with a quad bogey on the last hole. You take that quad bogey out, and he's dominating.
Yeah, 100%. It was wild. Neg 11 on that first day, we were all like, oh, okay, never mind. Like, this guy's amazing. And he was still doing great day two. He was six down or something, I think, or eight down. I don't know.
Seven,
There
I
you go.
think.
And then I do not know what the fuck happened, man. So hole 18 is pretty long. It's too long for me, but only like if I had 10 more meters, like then I'm sort of putting. But anyway, there's OB on that left, that sketchy lights that I showed you. And then there's a golf green if you turn it way over on the right, and a golf bunker if you turn it a little bit over on the right. But all require two more distance than I have, but it does worry. A lot of the MPOs ended up in that those bunkers. And some people early, like I know Ryan Hart was trying this. Anyway, there's like a crazy wide hyzer line you could take for no real reason. Like they should just blast the straight. Like flip up disc up the middle, or even a flat hyzer. But anyway, someone were taking these crazy wide hyzers for no reason. He's done that on the off the tee, and it was terrible. Come up so short, like way short of where my drive lands, and then proceeds to throw his upshot into the hazard, and then sails it way past the basket into the out of bounds. And then so the where he's at in the hazard's actually closer, so he just stays there, but didn't even try to hit the next putt, just laid up. Like he's only at like 8 meters. But then just laid up and then took his eight or whatever, a double OB eight. Crazy. I have no idea what happened. So weird. But anyway, bounced back the next day, absolutely dominated. Yeah, Blake put up a pretty good fight, but Aussie D just too good.
Yeah, he had that course dialed. Look, in the honor of racing through, we'll jump over to
Oh, I got to give
MP40.
one quick shout out.
We said
Sorry.
it'd
One
be
quick shout out. Zachary
yeah.
James. Amazing event by Zachary James. 942 rated. It's a very consistent disc golfer, but come in fourth place. Absolutely killed it. Had the second hottest round on round one and dropped off a little bit after that, but still fourth place in a really, really big field. Sick event by him. So keep going.
No, fair enough. And if we're going to do it, I'll mention Jay Brady's barnstorming final round minus nine as well to jag the podium finish, up five spots on round two.
Big.
So a good showing by the Canberra boys again. MP40, we've called it. We said it'd be a Ryan Johnson Gavin battle, but anticipating Ryan really to take it down like he takes down every other event. But Gavin had his measure all weekend.
Nah, Gavin was good. I think I told you I would have tipped him if I wasn't a pussy, and I wish I tipped him. So Three strokes over Ryan Johnson.
MA1, just BJ, just canter. This is just an absolute canter. Like, just from round one through, this was just gross and hard to watch, to be honest. Just no one even thought about giving him a shakeup.
Now, I've never seen anything like it. A 10 stroke smacking in MA1, 10 strokes. 7 under par, next best plus 3. Like, there was no one. And yeah, it wasn't close straight away. Wild. So he was just way too good. I don't know. I didn't get to play with him any rounds, so I don't know. I don't know what happened, but he was just much better than us. Like, much better than us.
9.937 event was good enough for second in MA1.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Not good
Not good
enough.
enough.
Nah. Macking, that's just he just made us all look real shit. So well done, BJ.
Did. He really
Yeah,
did.
big, just long time Cameron. I think he might have got a Queensland title a while back, maybe when no one was playing. He's been playing a long time. But this is legit, 23 player field, good players, a lot of good players. So, and I think he's on Team Kingfisher, and he had the best score out of any of the Kingfisher people there that weekend. So he gets to wear a special little captain's hat or some weird shit like that. So I don't know, he was excited about
Nice.
it.
An upset in FA1. Kirsten Murray gets done by Leah, which is, I think unexpected. I definitely would have tipped Kirsten. That's pretty big there by Leah in FA1.
Yeah, nah, for sure. Just a bit all over the place. And I've got to spend a bit of time with Kirsten because her partner is Bryce, and we played round two and three together. So once her round was done, she came and tagged along with us, which was cool. And yeah, she just said she was just a bit all over the place. But yeah, Leah, too good. Final round 69, getting it done.
Emma, not many familiar names in MA40. I see
Nah.
Matt Beard won by a stroke, held on just in the end.
Yep, good job there, Matty B, Matty Boy.
Carol Hartley, to be expected, I think takes
No
out FA40.
surprises. Yep, no surprises there.
How did your dad go in MA50?
Trash. It's trash. Plus 12 first round. I was like, "What are you doing, Dad? It's trash." He's like, "Yeah, I know." Plus 12, second round, trash. And then third round, I finally do the right thing. I go walk around with him before my round. I must say, round one and two, he did his own thing, actually. Like, there, it doesn't matter. But this time, we were all there at the same time. So I went and walked around with him and carried the bag for him, gave him a few tips and tricks. He took a bogey on hole five, which was actually a fantastic result for, all his other rounds, and he's only one over through five. By that stage, he's normally been like six or seven over. And I'm like, here we go, we're on to one. I watch him tee off on six. He's throwing a perfectly acceptable tee shot on six, and I said, all right, mate, I gotta leave you now. But you know what to do here. Roo-roo up, putter in, bang bang. These next ones you can easily par. Immediately bogeyed the hole. After I left, and then went on a bogey basically every single hole for the rest of the round. Finished with a plus 12 again. So plus 12 every
Again.
round again. Just I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, the only time I watched him play, he was great. So yeah, he let me down. I really talked him up. I said he was going to mow down all these chumps. He got done by, what's that, 16 strokes. Not good enough. But even that, only five off a second. He could. Oh yeah, nah, he annoys me. He was in second place when I left him. Anyway, stuff you,
Well,
Jeff. Well done, Ashley Carter.
not seeing many other Eagles. The next Eagle I see is all the way down in MA3 with
Nah, well, we had
Mitch
Timmy
Evers
Stevens.
and
Timmy Stevenson was in MA2, but I think he played all right. as well when I looked at the round ratings. I think it wasn't too bad. But yeah, there was an absolute stud in MA2 who smashed everyone. Neg 5, Luke Robinson. Yikes.
Yikes. Domination. FA2, no Eagles there. MA3, Mitch Evers. Find himself in the middle of the leaderboard, probably not, well, probably not quite where he wants to be. And Max Tat's slotting in there as well.
Yeah, big final round for Mitch to get him up, which was nice. So, but yeah, nothing. He wanted more out of that, but he still had a fun time. He works for Flight Centre, and they had a big Flight Centre shindig that second last night. So he was rough Sunday morning.
Beautiful. And then I'm not finding any other Eagles. Anyone else you want to shout out?
Nah, I think that's about it. A good event by Ville. I think, yeah, he played nice. He on that third round, he was real, maybe second round. He was real spicy for a bit, but yeah, still good event. I think way above his average. So I finished 12th, but it was, yeah, tough field, and I think he led the charge for the Melbourne MPO boys. But yeah, we better check in
True
on
that.
the Throwlers Guarantee. So,
Yes.
I think we got the leaderboard right. I've forgotten it again. So I got 7 points at the one, and I think six at the other. So I'm on 13, if my memory serves
Okay,
me.
cool. Something like
I
that.
need to write
I
this
had
down.
you, I can't remember what I gave you for Nick. But yeah, you've got it. Let's call it a
Seven.
six and a seven. You got the Taz one, you got the Taz
Yeah, that's
one, and
it.
you got the Nick one. I got no, I can't remember what I did week one, but then week two I did Ville, which only netted me two. And then I can't remember what I did week three, but I got me zero.
Yeah, so it's 13 plays two. So I went with a very safe bet of local guy due to smack me at Nationals, Hayden Fatteny, finishing in the top half of his major. He gave me rightfully 2 points for that because it'll definitely happen. And he let me down pretty badly.
Correct.
So he just always finds a way to fuck me, I guess, Hayden. Thanks for that, mate. Had a really good final round too, just to prove that he could have if he wanted. But 0 points for me.
100%.
And then you had bet I'd set a line of what I will shoot an over under, and you took the over. I will be worse. And round one, it was looking pretty good for you. I shot a plus five.
It
I
was.
was right on track for my four, and I blew the easiest upshot on a hole 18. It was very frustrating. Anyway, round two, all of a sudden I could putt. Man, I could putt. Hit so many putts. It was crazy. Got an even. I was feeling real good about myself. All I had to do was not shoot a plus seven the final day, and it should be sweet. And things got a little squirrely early, but I recovered. I was at a plus two with six to play, and then just bogeyed every hole. Now they got one par and one double bogey. Oh man, the double bogey was so bad. Just yeah, hit an early tree on a bit of a tricky hole, which yeah, there was a lot of trees on that one. Fine. Got up shot to like 4 meters, just a bit sideways on a hill into a headwind, and I decided to throw it way above the basket, way above the, yeah, the whole basket. I had no idea. Bad all day. Anyway, missed a couple. Yeah, just silly, like just yeah, silly mistakes on all these last holes. But then I even had a fucking had a birdie putt on hole 17, which is a long hole. I was so excited about my drive, and I blew it. And I was like, shit, that would have got me back under. And then I just threw another bogey in hole 18 just for fun, just to really punctuate the line. So plus six on my
Cemented.
final six holes. Sick. Really made me feel good about my choice to go. But anyway, 6 points for you. So it's 8 place 13 now. Woo! Getting spicy, getting
Ring-a-ding-ding. Back in
spicy.
it. Yeah. No, look, I was disappointed. Obviously, I was rooting for you, but deep down, I was stoked.
Yeah, thanks.
So thanks for that.
All right, should we do a throwers our next throwers guarantee then? Maybe something to the big with a big wet. All
Yeah, I've got something
right.
brew. I've got something brew.
Yeah.
I've got something brewing. Yep,
Is
I think
it?
it's
Oh
your turn to
shit.
go
I thought I
first.
went last week. But all right. I have not looked, but I will now. What do I like here? What do I like? The MA1 division, I'm gonna go conservative again, I think. Or what I can, well, nah, that's actually not. It's tough. And I know you hate this guy. So I'm gonna go with Benedicto Burn to win MA1 at the big wet.
Oh,
Benedicto Burn.
Benedicto Burn
We got
to win
Don Carter in
MA1.
there. We've got the good
This is
Chris Scott
going
in
well.
there. Mark Hardy just shot five down there the other day. Jacob and I also playing, but not factors.
All right, this is a beautiful segue by you. All right, so Benedicto Burn to win. So, are you throwing in there that I hate him? That could not be further from the truth. I don't. Not even sure if
Nate,
I've
you haven't,
actually
but
met the
I've told
man,
him you
but
hate him.
I'm very familiar because I'm very familiar with you though, because I keep a very close eye on you disc leaderboards, and that man finds himself at the top of just about every course in the country at the moment, and by some margin, including Mount Xavier. So you mentioned Mark Hardy's five under fire. I know Dylan Feldman's played there. I know Paddy Robinson's played there. I know Timmy B's played there. All right. But there is a gap situation on the leaderboard. Benedicto Burn finds himself way better than all of those players on that course, by three or four strokes. Something ridiculous. Don't have it up in front of me, but I have seen it before, and he is commanding that leaderboard. I think next on the leaderboard actually might be Nath Parrish, who said he shot the right round of his life, but it was not as good as Benedicto Burn on new disc. So I could go either way with
Well, I
this.
know
I
you
could
don't
go either way
believe
with
it. I
this.
don't know. I know you don't believe
And
it.
what I'm
So
going to
I don't want to hear
do?
it too out of you.
Oh, no. I should give you a one. Like I said, he's the best on that course in the country. But I'm not going to give you a one. I'm going to give you Benedicto Burn to win. You know what? I'm going to give you
It's a good
five.
number. There's some good players out there, so I think, yeah, him versus the field.
He's highest rated in the field. I shouldn't be giving you a five, but he's
Yeah, I
highest rated
know.
by
Nah, well, Chris
far,
Scott's
and he's
playing, and
local.
don't.
You don't deserve a five.
But that's
But
why I picked him.
I'm
I knew
giving
I'd
it
get
to
some
you.
value. All right, fine. Sounds good. What have you got?
All right. I've been toying up with a couple of players here, and I don't know which way to go. I mean, going to need your guidance, all right? So I'm looking at Nath Parrish. Obviously, he takes some beatings in the MPO field. He
Played
takes
great,
some beatings.
Queensland.
And he did play great in Queensland. He did play great in Queensland. And I'm trying to eye off how many scalps he can take in the field
MPO.
of MPO and in MPO. And I reckon he can take four
What,
scalps.
all right, we'll go this way then. Well, tell me if you like it or not, but what if I give you a point for every scalp he takes? Yeah.
Oh, a point for every scalp he
Or
takes.
is that not good enough value?
No, we don't want to go that way. Well, I
Nah,
have to
if I
still
just, if,
call it, don't I?
like, I'll just say I'll give you a point for every scalp he takes. He gets no scalps,
Oh,
you get
yes,
none.
nah.
He beats three people, you get three. Beats five, he gets five.
Oh, I love it. Let's do that. Yes, let's do that.
All right. Yeah, cool. I know
That's
that's not
cool.
really a guarantee, but I guess your guarantee is he will take scalps and
Yeah,
I'll give you a point for everyone.
exactly. He's obviously renowned for coming dead last. And I really wish he'd listened, because we give him so much shit on this podcast and he just never gets to hear it. I hope someone's passing it on to him. But anyway, he won't come dead last is my guarantee, and I'll take a point for every scalp that he takes.
I like it. These are good ones. These are good. I like this.
This is good.
All right, the pod's getting long. I don't want to waste too much of your vacation, so we won't go too hard into it. But just see anything you liked at Des Moines.
Just my tipping.
Ha! Yeah, I thought you might want to not skip Des Moines. What was your FBO tip?
None other than a very young 18-year-old Emily Weatherman was my tip for the FBO.
Bang!
Yeah.
Big tip, 3-stroke victory. Big tip there. Well done. She's had a good year, but no one in our tipping comp has actually tipped her all year, and you've just gone, this is the one.
Yeah, nah, stoked. And for those listening along at home, with our tipping comp, we actually have a drop-down list of names to choose from. But that drop-down list is based on performances last year. And it's the top 100. So there's 100 players for us to choose from. But then there's a type-in box if you can't find your player. And I was like, I'm tipping Weatherman. She's not in the drop-down, but I'm tipping Weatherman. And bang, got the W. So stoked.
Yeah, nice. I tipped Valerie Mandahano. She come a millionth. Who cares? My season's over. It's very depressing. Like, no one's playing. There's like six good women in the field, and Valerie's like 19th. That's where I'll come. Fuck, man, I just can't get it done. But anyway, you had a nice. You shared that you tipped Emily on our socials, and she hit you back and said thanks.
Yeah, she gave us some love. Nah, she was very chuffed to see that. So that's nice to see.
And then the MPO division, Anthony Barella is back. He's been chumping it up a little bit in the like high teens to mid 20s the last few events, and he just says, "Nah, we're about to head over to the European Open, and I want to win that." So, like, let me get win number 4 on the year.
Yeah, maybe it is four.
I reckon 4. I reckon that's. I think he had two early and then one kind of sneaky after, and then I think this is 4. So Gannon Burr in there, they're right there in third place, still having like the best season. Like he's been winning the tour, but 4 wins so far. It's hard to look past AB for player of the year. So going to be a nice debate at the end of the year. Matty Oram there in second, still hanging around. But did you see much of it with the AB?
Yeah, I did actually. The time zone here is awful. Like, so they tee off at like midnight, so I don't get to watch any of it live. But I've caught up via Jomez because I tipped Matty O, so I was invested. And
Yeah, boy.
Barella and the Adam Hammers battle down the throughout the weekend and on the final 18, it was cool to watch. Those two were slinging.
Huge final round for Calvin Heimberg made it so that it wasn't one of the most disappointing couple weekends of disc golf of his life. It would have been pretty bad if he flew to Sweden just to be shit there and then flew back just to be shit there. But at least he got a top 10 and made some cash, so probably worth his while in the end.
Yeah, definitely.
All
Definitely.
right, and then we'll have a quick look at the. Oh no, we won't. What was the Bain spotting tournament? Where did Bain play on the weekend? Do you
No,
know?
nowhere, I don't reckon. Nowhere really, because
Ah,
it
okay.
was the Finnish nationals and only Finnish people can play.
True. Yep.
Yeah.
Nah, fair enough. Cool. All right, we'll have to watch him at Crokhall this weekend. All right, should we spot? We'll finish it with some spotlight, not light.
Yeah, let's do
I'll go. My spotlight. This seems to be always my spotlight, but when I go away for a tournament weekend, but just fun times. I had a really fun house. Yeah, we had a lot of good times, good value house there, and when we went out to the pubs, good times. All my card mates were all great value. Everyone was fun. Just a good time. Love disc golf sometimes, even though I'm bad at it. So my spotlight just goes to having fun at disc golf.
Yeah, good work. Look, you actually have to get my honorable mention. your sign off at the end of last episode. If you're hearing this and you haven't heard his sign off at the end of the last episode, this is just my little heads up. Go back and give it a listen. You can have my honorable mention for that. Got lots of positive feedback.
Cheers.
Lots of positive feedback on socials for that sign off. So one of our faves. And but no, you actually you stole my thunder earlier in the episode. But my spotlight goes to none
Oh,
other
sorry.
than Pete Barry. You are indeed right. That is the first time we have seen him at a disc golf course since his struggles and going through chemo and everything. But how good to have him back on the track and playing some street league. Welcome back, Pete. We've all missed you. Awesome work. You get my spotlight this week.
Beautiful. Love that. All right, my not light, it has to go to Ryan Deere. The kid makes me laugh. He just makes me laugh. So it's fun, it's funny to me, but his delusions is what gets a not light. So he had an all right weekend, I think. He played all right, but he always hates it. He always thinks he should have won. But round one, he's 3 strokes behind Ville, and after the round, makes a bet with him, like a slab, that he'll beat him. That Ryan will come back and he'll beat Ville for the event. And I started laughing immediately, giving him shit. I was like, he's better than you, and he's beating you. Like, what do you? Wait, how are you making an even money bet here, my guy? And he's like, nah, we'll get it, we'll get it. And Phil's just like, oh yeah, done. Sign me up. So yeah, my not light goes to Ryan Deere for making stupid bets. Because yeah, he didn't beat Bill.
Nope. Nah, well played. Look, my honorable mention goes to this holiday coming to an end. Start to make my way home
Oh.
as of tomorrow, so that can have my honorable mention. But no, my not light has to go to Taryn and Anthony Megan for losing that doubles battle. That gets my not light.
It makes me sad. Makes me sad that. So, that good call. Good call. All right, cool. Well, yeah, I'll see you on Sunday, Chris, at the Big Wet. Live from Greece now, and you'll be rained on in Ballarat in a few days' time. So,
Can't wait. Can't wait.
all right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.